Weeby Geeks
Podcast. I'm Franco, and you're listening to Weeby Geeks.
Weeby Geek Podcast.
.evil.org.
Listen with your mom.
And welcome back to another episode of Weeby Geeks, your official voice of the geek revolution, where listening to this show grants you citizenship. I guess that's the way you want to go.
And plus five in charisma.
with a potential alignment change.
Yeah. But minus two in smell because I haven't showered today, so sorry. Yeah. Good thing you're in different cities.
So this week, if you roll a d20 and score and roll a 20, it's a minus five for smell.
So, I have one. We went to the comic book store today, and they had a magic, I don't know if it was magic, but they were using these dice for whatever they were doing. And I was like, oh my gosh, my 4-year-old's going to run over and grab all the dice. So Ron was like, here, I got some extra dice. So he gave him gave us all these dice for our kids to play with.
So the voices you have heard is Jules, Marty, and Mike. We are your hosts along this journey into something.
You've been watching The Hobbit. You're trying to make it all like
no,
journey and adventure and conquest and stuff like that, aren't you?
It just came out
on DVD this week, right? The last time.
I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so. Which is good because now Star Wars doesn't have to compete with it at Christmas.
That's right.
So we know what the holiday number one is going to be. I guess let's knock off the official news, so to speak. This is Weeby Geeks. Check us out at weebygeeks.net. Email us at weebygeeks@weebygeeks.net. Give us a call on our voicemail. Leave us a question, comments, subject. If you have something you want us to discuss.
I forgot we had that, to be honest with you. We have like that in like 100 episodes or so.
It's because no one calls it.
Maybe we should like set up a text. Can we text that phone number?
We probably could. It's 321-219-8227. In case that was too fast, I will go Southern style with you. 321-219-8227.
If you have any good impressions, also leave those on. Those are fun.
Yeah.
I'll take some impressions.
Okay. Amazon, Nerd Block, Hero Crate, Shirt Punch, who else? Her Universe. Of course, our sponsor, Audio Technica, where you could get microphones like what we use here on the show. Some great headphones, different levels, whether it's pro studio quality or gaming, a high-end gaming headphone or earbuds and headphones with inline microphones and volume control for your mobile device needs. Check out all our sponsors and advertisers on the homepage. And then if you like this show, check out the other shows on the network, such as The Well Watchers, Video Game Book Club, Pro Wrestling Cast. God, I want to say podcast into that. Thanks, Aljon, for making that little hard. I want to go podcast. Yeah. So Pro Wrestling Cast, Dining at Disney, E-Ticket Time, Mighty Marvel Geeks, Talking Comics from the guys over at Excalibur Comics. Check out Rick's Comic City for your comic book needs as well. Enter the code WeebyGeeks and it's, 10% off?
Yep.
So, speaking of comics, I don't know about you guys, but my subscription pull list is slowly thinning hard. It's just my pot. I'm taking a little bit of a hit because of the variant covers. That one grab was the Star Wars titles. But other than that, I'm thinned out.
Are you saying you're already feeling the effects of a crossover that's still a couple months away from happening in both Marvel and DC? You're already got crossover fatigue before it begun?
Yeah, I was looking at the new, I picked up, I think, issue one of the new Uncanny Avengers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe? I don't remember.
Maybe.
I don't remember. Now I feel like I got to look at either Comicology or Marvel and take a look. But I'm not really feeling the new team. And I loved Uncanny. I mean, I have everything Uncanny of the first run, of the 2013 run, 2015.
Right.
And I was digging it. I really liked the feel of it. And of course, all that takes place. It's the teams after Avengers versus X-Men. Avengers, I'm wrapping it up before it goes into Secret Wars. And right now, I'm curious to see if the teams that they're plugging for New Comic Book Day, if that's going to be the new Avengers title. It's not because most of it's going to be a female team, because I like Jason Aaron's Thor, you know, the female Thor. It just has no interest to me. It's characters that I just don't have a connection with. So right now, my pull list from Marvel is the 5-issue miniseries Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, the Disney Kingdom stuff.
That just came out today, didn't it?
It did.
That's the one based on another one based on the ride, like Figment?
Correct. Gotcha. Based on the ride, Big Thunder Mountain Railroad.
Huh.
And Mighty Marvel Geeks guest, Joe Caramagna, who we had last week, is the letterer on it. And I say Mighty Marvel Geeks and Weeby Geeks guest, Joe Caramagna, did the lettering. Weeby Geeks guest, WDI, Walt Disney Imagineering, Imagineer, Brian Crosby, is doing the 5 interconnecting covers, which is the first variant for the book. And he's got some great artwork. He really does. Because he did some of the variant covers for Secrets of the Weird as well. Some great stuff. That's a 5-issue run. Disney Kingdoms, whenever they do a new topic, you know, first topic was Secrets of the Weird, second topic was Figment, now Big Thunder Mountain Railroad, whatever the next one's going to be, it's going to be a 5-issue run as well. So Disney Kingdoms I'm picking up, so that's a guarantee. Star Wars, Vader, Leia, next month, actually comes out April 1st. Next week. It's Kanan, based on the character from Star Wars Rebels. So that's my 4 issues that I'm picking up. My daughter has got the newest of the My Little Pony series. Was it Friendship Forever? Friends Forever?
Sure.
I'm guessing.
Friendship is Magic. That's still going on.
It is, but she got into it way too late. I mean, they had been out.
I mean, the plot's advanced that long that she can't keep up with.
No, it's... To me, issues are out for us to go back and catch up without doing the trade paperbacks. So she's got the entire micro series, all 10 issues of it. But this was one we were able to start from beginning to end. So when she really gets into it, she has it all.
Gotcha.
DC, I'm picking up the Harley specials. I think that's about it for DC. I mean, DC, Warfleas was my book. Batman 66, I'd rather just go ahead and pick it up digitally. I've got my Batman 66 meets Green Hornet. That was a 6-issue run. Unless there's a good Riddler story that pops up, don't see myself picking up much DC.
It is a weird kind of deal sometimes where I think a lot of companies find this, you know, like when there's going to be some heavy change and they're both publishers are doing it this summer, and that fear of people just dropping off before it even kicks off. So it's like that whole timing of when to release information and how quick, you know, if it'll actually inspire people to keep reading or just drop off, and then, you know, they'll just pick up when the new number one's hit. We were talking before the show, like, to me, like, I there's only like a handful of books from the big two that I really care about anymore. It's just kind of getting to the point of either I've gotten too far behind, or this ties into too many other issues that I don't want to read or don't want to keep paying for. It's just finding quality stuff. So I've been actually searching more on the indie stuff, try to find some good things out of there, like Lady Killer and From Dark Horse, or Walking Dead's always a crowd pleaser.
Issue 3 comes out soon for George Perez's Sirens.
That's
a 6-issue run. That's a great book. I really dig it.
As soon as I saw that title come out, I was like, I bet Mike's gonna get that, and I kept forgetting to tell you about it, or ask you even if you knew. I'm sure it's been on your radar for like 3 years probably, but
I actually know someone who is a character in the book.
Character? It's based on a real person?
No, real people were used as models for the characters.
Oh, gotcha.
So, like, the elderly lady figure in it is actually George's wife.
So he doesn't make her look too old, I'm sure, or else he...
No,
probably not. No supper that night, yeah. He's sleeping on the couch the rest of that month.
But, no.
Any wrinkles to me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm right there with you with the indies. You know, Sirens from Boom. Boom, it's, you know, I'll pick up as I see something that draws my attention. You know, like Loki, Ragnarok, and Roll. I mean, I love that series by Eric Escoville. IDW, I don't see anything that really draws my attention there yet. I don't know. They've got the G.I. Joe books, right?
Yeah, and I want to say I heard some pretty decent stuff about the latest launch of the G.I. Joe book.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember how somebody is selling it to me. I just heard that they were kind of, you know, giving a good thumbs up. So.
Valiant, super digging. I'm right back into Exo Man of War again, and Archer and Armstrong, Quantum and Woody. I'm really digging those titles again. The Valiant himself, I don't know if we talked about it. Valiant's doing their own movie studio.
Yes. Cameron, I don't think we talked, I think we talked about it off the air. But yeah, they teamed up with a Chinese kind of like the Universal Studio of China kind of deal.
I almost want to say Lionsgate, but it's not Lionsgate.
Yeah, I can't. The name off the top of my head is not coming to me, but it's basically, you know, kind of setting up their own Valiant TV movie kind of deal for distribution, and not only distribution in the States, but also distribution in China. They found
I would love to see Archer and Armstrong come to TV.
That would be interesting, because they haven't done any Valiant. I remember at least a couple of video games that they did off Valiant characters.
Yeah.
Shadow Man.
Yeah.
And I think Exo Man teamed up with Iron Man or something like that in a game.
Possibly.
Yeah, it was really kind of weird. Not that good.
Exo Man of War would make a great movie as well. Great movie series.
As long as they, you know, can get away from the Iron Man, the somewhat Iron Man-esque-ness to him.
Yeah.
At least the costume.
But, I mean, there's so much more. I can't think of its name. Is that Ren? Rain? The Oriental title? Can make it.
Sure.
I can't think of it right offhand. I mean, they got some great stories there. Xenoscope. I mean, I check out titles every now and then, but it's a little... I mean, it's obscure in my taste. I mean, it's an extreme. I'm not one who is a patron of Hooters or Tilt-A-Kilt or Twin Peaks or whatever. Wing House, whatever.
What do you have against chicken wings, man? That's just wrong.
It's not the
chicken's
food.
Ever new to you besides you give you delicious and full belly.
I just don't find the appeal of a restaurant. It's just not my thing. It really isn't. So, and to me, Xenoscope's almost that same realm. I mean, there's some great stories. There's some great artwork. It's like a couple cosplayers I follow on Facebook. Their posts, you know, their big post of the day is, look at my assets. Like, really? I don't care if you're giving me a history on National Croissant Day. Your picture is just putting your assets right up front, and sorry, not my thing.
You're still covered by croissants. I don't know what the big deal is. It's still in the theme, gosh.
So yeah, Jules, what about you? What's your subscriptions like?
Complicated. we were talking
about a relationship. How would you define it?
Yes, definitely complicated.
Facebook status. Facebook status. Comic book relationship. It's complicated.
Well, here's what. Like, okay, so we had a huge pull between the four of us, because my 4-year-old Will, he picked out a Scooby-Doo comic today, and I was like, that's just not really like him. But so between the four of us, we had a giant pull list. So we decided we're going to cut it down. But what happened was we were just kind of making a list really quick. So when we gave Ron our new, like, this is going to be our new pull list, there are some things that were missing. And I was like, so I recommend that if you ever cut down, make sure that your comic book person gets your actual list. Because like, I went in and I was like, wait, we didn't add this. We didn't add this. We didn't add this. I'm so far behind that it's not even funny. I know, like, even like we buy a lot of
kids. Meanwhile, back at the above ground underwater suborbital volcano lair.
Sorry about
that. Never mind what you had to say, Jules. It wasn't important. We needed to cut into the next story. segue now.
I do go on and on for some.
No, go ahead. Sorry.
The sad thing is we just finally allowed you to talk. We opened the floor perfectly for you to speak. And Mike's got to be, what are you doing over there?
I'm trying to research.
Research, right.
Now, I mentioned Uncanny X-Men or Uncanny Avengers. I'm now trying to see if I actually have it. I actually did get the first issue.
We're sorry, Jewel. I'm sorry for Mike. I don't know if Mike's actually sorry.
No, I am.
He probably intended to do that the whole time.
No.
Continue, please. Continue.
No, but I have a really hard time with, so going in the comic shop, I know what I'm getting, but then I see something and I'm like, this, I have to have this. Like, I'll flip through it. I'm like, I don't even know what the story's about, but I need to buy it right now. So that's my problem. And then we end up with a 30, you know, issue pull list. But no, we, what did I pick up today? I picked up, Conan Red Sonja today. I picked up number 3. I don't know if that actually came out today. And then, cause that, it was just like sitting there. So I'm not sure if it was the only one. I don't know if it like was out or if it was just in the wrong spot, but, and then he had issue 1. So I have 1 and 3. So, and I flip and I like flip through it and I was like, this is so right up my alley. So I picked that up today. That wasn't on our pool. I just was like, I have to have it. That was one of the things. But yeah, we do
quite happy with you then.
Yeah, I know. And I was like, because everything he does, I love. So I was like, I'm gonna love this. And I love Gail Simone. So I think it's a win-win for me. That's why I was like, I have to get it. But yeah, like, and then there was a lot of comics, like even the kids comics, like my daughter likes SpongeBob. I buy Adventure Time because I like it. Samurai Jack, I guess, is like, I don't know, kid comic, but I read it. We were buying My Little Pony. We were buying all the My Little Ponies, but then it just got to be too many My Little Ponies. So yeah, we don't really buy those anymore.
Same
yeah,
like Sonic too, isn't it? Like Sonic and My Little Pony, they both between the two just branch those brands out as far as they can go.
And we were buying Sonic for a while, and it was good. Like we really enjoyed it, but it was just that's exactly what happened. Too many Sonic, like just too many worlds collide and this and that. And I liked it, but I was like, I can't buy all of these, like too many. But then yeah, so like we didn't add Chew, which is like my absolute favorite comic, and so it came out today, and so we don't have Chew. Because he only orders probably like, I don't know, three issues of Chew because he doesn't have like a huge, like, I guess, Chew fan base there. Yeah. It was on our old pool list, so we were getting it. But then when we revamped it, we didn't add it. So now I don't have the new Chew, so I'm really sad about that.
Jules. All right, next time this happens, just text me, all right? And I'll help you out. We've got some copies of Chew for you if you need it. We might even be able to find you Red Sonja and Conan number 2. I'll go to the shop. I'll go to the shop just for you, Jules, and just tell me what you're missing, and I'll help a sister out.
My personal shopper here for things I don't.
Yeah, I have to go back now. I'm looking at the cover of the new Uncanny Avengers number 1 with Rick Remender. Of course, they're doing this Uncanny Avengers Now, which I don't understand what that's all about. I want to say I have that book. It's just, I guess I haven't redeemed the digital code for it yet.
So you still don't know if you've read it.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
It's a sad day when the memory just fails you like that.
So welcome to another... Oh, wait.
Welcome to Mighty Marvel Geeks.
I've done that before, too.
I'm your host, Jason. Ever been a Jason? I don't know.
No.
That's a good name, then. Jason. I'm going to go with Jason now.
So, yes, Mighty Marvel Geeks.
There is a fine line between genius and madness.
So I guess that is interesting that all three of us are kind of having that same feeling of, you know, the big two don't really seem to be bringing it right now. Do you think that there's stuff on the horizon you might be interested in, like maybe during their big crossovers that are happening, or maybe after the big crossovers? Because both of them are going to be planning like a bunch of new number ones afterwards that may be interesting.
I don't know.
You think there might be anything there for you?
If I do actually have Uncanny Avengers number 1 around here somewhere.
I'll pick it up for you too, Mike.
No, I can get it, 'cause I don't think it's sold quite as well. I might stick with it. I'm not sure. I want to do some more research behind it. Right now, Marvel for me is Star Wars, which, you know, four titles coming out. Great. Obviously, I'll pick up the movie adaptation for The Force Awakens when they start it. But yeah, the different Star Wars titles and Disney Kingdoms is pretty much going to be it for me. I mean, we're talking, that's 5 books a month. Now, if I stretch it, now maybe Uncanny Avengers. If not, I'll just wait until Marvel or Comic-Con. Well, I guess it's Marvel that dictates it. I'll just wait for Marvel to put them up on sale on digital.
Do you have the Marvel Universe?
Marvel Unlimited?
Or Unlimited, that's one, yeah.
Yeah, I have it until August.
Yeah, I might make it then. It seems like it's about, depending on the title.
They're 6 months behind.
Like, yeah, about 3 to 6 months. I've seen some go up as soon as like maybe 4, but yeah. Usually it's about 6 months after. So 6 months from now, yeah, you could theoretically finally read Uncanny Avengers #1 before your subscription runs out.
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've got everything digitally of the 2013 series, because I picked up like issue 18, and it gave me not only the digital copy of 18, but it also gave me either 1 through 5 or 1 through 6 collection for as part of the deal. Yeah, that's when they were doing the Marvel Now reboot. Yeah, it's issue 18, but the new #1 saying this is a new launch point. So because of that, I've been able to get everything digitally, and they only went at 26 bucks with the 2013 run. So
right.
So I've got everything.
Time to get there.
Yeah. Well, it's like with Harley Quinn. DC did huge bundle. I think it was like the first, it was all the specials, the first specials. I'm trying to remember what they are now. The San Diego Comic-Con, I think the Scratch and Sniff, the specials from 2014. And then I think most of the books of 2014 for like $4.99.
Wow.
I'm like, I'm jumping on this.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a great bargain, great buy. So, I mean, digitally, it's the Star Wars books, the Disney Kingdom books, I will pick up the physical, or as I joke, the analog copies. But most of the stuff, I hate to say it to Coliseum Comics, my local shop, or to Rick's or Excalibur. I gotta go digital though for a lot of my stuff. And it just makes, I mean, for me, it just makes it easier for storage and space. I mean, it's all on the cloud.
Yeah.
So.
I totally agree. I mean, for me, the perfect thing would be to have enough money, like be a millionaire, buy every issue, but then have every issue digital, because then I wouldn't like crease them or get fingerprints on them. They would be mint versions of every comic that was ever invented. But I like digital because, like, if we're out and about, Starbucks, wherever, I could pull out my iPad and read comics, and it's like really nice looking. Not that it's not like nice looking a comic. Comics are beautiful, but like it's so clear, and just, I don't know. You can't spill it. I mean, you could spill something on it, but it's not gonna, It's just gonna cost you a new iPad, not $1 million for a comic.
It's like with my daughter's bedtime, since she's starting to read, I made the mistake. I grabbed, she has a couple copies of Muppet Babies. It's like, well, let's try this and see if she could start reading the words, realizing, okay, it's still a little up there age-wise. But I look, now, of course, that's the old newsprint with the halftone printing. I'm like, oh, look at Fozzie's head. Do you see all the dots in it? Uh-huh. I said, that's not fur. That's the way it was printed. Oh, then she brings in My Little Pony book. I said, you see the difference in paper? And then I'm sitting there going, wow, big difference in paper.
Yeah, we live through it and don't really realize until they sit next to each other, like how much has changed.
Drastic change. Yeah. I don't know.
I don't know. For me, like, you guys kind of got into the point of like digital versus print. I'm not so much like you, where it's like, I do enjoy the digital books that I've gotten. And I can't say I divulge in a lot, but they're really good for, say, you know, oh, I want to get into Spider-Man now, but trying to find the early issues of Amazing Spider-Man with all the, you know, first appearance of Silk and, you know, all these other characters that are popping up and causing those early issues to go sky high, you know, it's not going to happen, and the trades haven't hit yet. So, maybe I'll hit a sale on Comixology and get them for a little bit cheaper. So that's kind of how I look at it. But my real fear is like, you plunk, I don't know how many hundreds of dollars or thousands of dollars over time into some digital comics. Now, let's just say a server just poops out. It's a server that has like all of your information for some reason. Jinxes. And so you have just spent a bunch of money on something that you have nothing of now, you know, or say like they upgrade to the next iPad and for some reason it just doesn't want to work with this system. You can't transfer stuff over. That's like my biggest fear. Like, well, at least when I have a book in my hand, it's with me until I do something with that book.
Yeah.
It's not dependent on some Yahoo in a server warehouse someplace that just, you know, happens to bump it offline when he's cleaning up with his mop or something like that. You know, I don't know. It's that fear of like, at least I'm in control of what happens to this issue that I just paid money for.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Also, you can't smell digital issues.
Right.
I like the smell of comics and like books.
I don't know. My digital issues smell like iPad. No, I mean, for me, the digital issues, you know, if I'm carrying some actual books in my bag and I'm like, pull it out, I'm like, you know, I'm really not in the mood for this one. Digital, I could go, okay, well, what's here? What am I in the mood for?
Right. Yeah.
I could pull it up quick.
It's like pluses and minuses for both. Cause that's, you know, one job I had, that's what I used to do is I just would take like a backpack of comics because I had like, you know, 8 hours of sitting around by myself where I'm monitoring something and not going anywhere. So it's like, well, you know, good time to catch up on some reading.
Yeah.
And so I'd bring like a stack of comics like every time. And, you know, like it's kind of heavy and cumbersome and after a while. So it would have been nice just to bring like, one single digital device.
Yeah.
Or a plane trip or something like that. Plane trips especially, I think it would be key. Because I always hated taking my comics on trips for fear of the unknown of not knowing, you know, oh, this is going to get thrown in the back eventually and then a suitcase is going to fall on top of it and rip it all to shreds or something, you know,
you land somewhere and it's a monsoon outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, okay, the backpack's supposed to be waterproof.
Oh, goodness.
But it's soaked enough where, yeah.
Yep.
I always worry someone's going to steal. I know this sounds really awful, but like when I go to work, I always worry someone's going to steal my comics or my books if I bring them. Because the last job I had, we had lockers, because it was like a 2-year-old store. So none of them had keys. So like when you put your stuff in the locker, like anybody could just go in. I'm like, I can't. And I wanted to bring, I was thinking, well, maybe I can bring my iPad to read. I can bring comics to read. Someone's going to steal them. which I'm sure no one is going to steal comics, but I just always have that fear. Like
iPad, yes. Comic.
I was surprised. My current work location, I brought in some magazines, like some Nintendo Power back when that was out. And a couple other, like PC Magazine and whatnot. Left them on my shelving unit. Came, you know, they were like inside of a milk crate inside, you know, on my shelving unit. Came in a couple days later and they were gone. I'm like,
right?
Okay.
But he had to go to the potty.
No. It's
reading time.
Someone felt, oh, they're here. They're free for anyone. I'm like, no.
I would like to point out right now that I don't think Nintendo Power has been in print for like at least 10 years now, Mike. So that's
no,
a pretty
that's
old
not
story.
True. Not true.
How long ago?
The last time I picked up an issue was about 4 years ago.
That sounds
4 or 5
right.
years ago.
2011 they were still printing?
I think so.
All right.
We used to get them in the mail. I could be wrong.
I was thinking they've been out of print for quite a while, like almost 10 years. But I could be wrong. I haven't gotten an issue like in 20 years, so I could totally be wrong on all that.
Tell you here in a second.
All right.
So
it was one of those where I was like really sad to see it go, but also know that the magazine didn't feel nearly as fun and, you know, quirky as it did when I was growing up either. Like it was just pretty much a straight up ad for their games, which it may have been as a kid. It just disguised it better. I don't know.
Nintendo Power was ceased publication in December of 2012.
2012. Yeah. Wow.
Final volume was Volume 285.
And I guess we didn't get it in the mail, but I thought we did. So it felt like we did. But I remember we had a lot of issues of it because we're like huge Nintendo geeks over here. So I remember reading a lot of them, but I don't remember anything else. Just that.
I was one of those guys. Like I had Nintendo Power when I was growing up as a kid. I was one of those guys that just kind of tucked them in a box and forgot about them, and then found them much, you know, as an adult later on. I was like, oh, this is pretty awesome. And I I will still occasionally fire up my 8-bit Nintendo. So, you know, read Nintendo Powers with the 8-bit stuff is still kind of current and relevant. So, the only problem with that is when you get a stack that's, I don't know, probably a foot tall or more of old issues of Nintendo Power that you kind of flip through maybe like once every 6 months and you move like every couple years, that gets really annoying to like have to lug it around. So I actually made a deal with myself, like, all right, the next time I move, if I don't touch these things, I'm just throwing them away or taking them to recycling or something. And I did it. And now I was like, why did I do that? Why? You know, now I'm like in a house that I bought and I'm actually staying here for a while. And I'm like, well, those would have been actually kind of cool to keep, at least the early issues. And because I have at least like issue number 4 or 5 somewhere, you know, like the early stuff. I don't think I ever had the first issue, but it was pretty close. Still have like, you know, like Super Mario 2 code and stuff like that in there.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah.
Well, to segue off topic that, you know, makes you want to say,
I have a really bad feeling about this.
And it's not Star Wars.
Mm.
We've put the story off for a couple of weeks, partially because we've had guests on the show. I think we've had guests for what, the last 4 or 5 weeks now.
Yeah.
So,
and we thank them.
This article came out on the 19th of March. It's from CheatSheet.com. 12 TV shows likely to get the axe after this season. Oh, I was right.
What you thinking there, Jules? You already got one in mind. What's the first one that came to mind there?
I'm just hoping and it's not any that I watch, because mine are always the ones that get canceled.
Number one, Vampire Diaries.
Yeah,
it's already been renewed.
Yeah, they don't mess around.
I try to squeeze that in. There's going to be one day I'm going to actually say it. It's going to be actually true, and you're going to go, yeah, quit calling Wolf.
Oh, no, for real.
That better never happen in my lifetime. I better be dead before that happens.
number one is Marry Me.
Oh, yeah, that's a show that had like a couple of characters from that other show that got kind of carried along and picked up. I don't even remember the name of it now. I'm looking at the characters like, oh, yeah, it's from that. I don't remember the name of the show.
I've never seen it. I don't even know what show it's even supposed to be a spinoff from, if it is.
That's not a spinoff, but like, I think the two main actors were both in this other show. One main and one sort of a secondary character, but I can't remember. I watched the show like 2 or 3 times. It's the one that Damon Wayans Jr. was on.
Yeah.
It's the one, because he had the lucky thing of pilot season, you can do as many pilots as you want. He did 2 pilots. He did this show that whose name we cannot think of, and then he did New Girl, and they both got picked up, and they both got, you know, had a pretty good fan base. New Girl is actually still around. He went with and stuck with the other show. The other show got, what was it? Did you get the name?
No, I was going to say, no, I can't think of the name, but I one of the guys in New Girl was somebody, and then like I was watching an episode and I was like, did they change the character? And like, it wasn't him anymore. And they didn't, like, they just played it nonchalantly, and I didn't look it up, but I was like, maybe I missed something, but yeah.
He was in the pilot as Coach. No, I watched New Girl, so yeah. So in case you're wondering or trying to piece together, I do watch New Girl. Yeah. But like, he was Coach, and then like the second episode, which isn't the pilot, obviously, he'd already, you know, they picked it up, and he jumped over to the other show, so they replaced him. But they did say, it was like a subtle thing, where like, oh, we've got this other guy, it sucks that Coach had to move out and put this other guy in. And it was really kind of, it was that typical TV thing of like, well, we lost one black actor, so let's put in another black actor, and maybe somebody won't notice or realize that he's different from the pilot. I don't know. Exactly. I don't know. I hope that's not the intention that they had, but it kind of felt like that a little bit.
Well, remember, we don't judge you until it lets us Twilight.
Fine.
Then we judge. Well, the second show that is likely to get canceled, About a Boy.
Yeah. I know it got a second season. It's got, I want to say it's got like, does it have a Mini Driver in it?
Yes, it does.
Uh-huh. And plays
the hippie single mother.
It's got and the main dude is like a guy I've seen bounce on a bunch of other shows, who's actually pretty funny, but couldn't quite make it last on this one.
I don't think this show is going to last, because one, I've never heard of it.
Based on the movie, same name. That helped you any?
Yeah.
It's not the movie.
No.
Happy Endings. That's the name of the show. Happy Ending.
Okay.
Okay.
Heard of that.
So, yeah.
It was a pretty funny show. It's kind of like, it felt a little Friends-ish because it had a bunch of, like, you know, young 20, 30-somethings. Some were single, some were not. But it also kind of felt a little like Cougar Town, like in the pacing of the show. So that's basically your description of Happy Ending.
I would love it then.
It wasn't bad. There were some good episodes, a couple that I caught.
The best way I could describe this, imagine my hand, you know, for the listeners, imagine my hand going above my head.
Mike just doesn't watch enough TV.
Apparently not. Or the right TV, as I've been accused of by previous...
Well, technically, you were watching the right TV because those aren't the shows that are getting canceled.
True.
Oh.
But see, we don't judge you on your geek cred. Pat, great web series by...
Yeah.
I enjoyed that series. I want to see more. By the shows you watch or don't watch, as it had been tried to be done on the show once before, but oh well. People do have lives. People, you know, you watch what's interesting to you. The third show.
But these aren't officially canceled. These are just saying that they're most likely to be canceled.
Most likely to, yeah.
So seeing as how none of the three of us has seen those first two shows, we can't really even weigh an opinion on them.
Nope.
But based on that fact that 100% of us have not seen the show, then it's probably going to get canceled because it interests none of us. We have a pretty wide range of taste and demographics here, yeah. So it's not like...
Well, according to the person who did this article, TV by the number has a ratings that resulted in a renew cancel index. So anything in a certain range is considered cancel, or most likely. Because number three is Katherine Heigl's State of Affairs.
Well, first of all, it has Katherine Heigl in it, so it's bound to get canceled.
Absolutely. Yeah. Everything she's in gets canceled or crash and burns or something. Yeah. I don't know.
And when she'll not, and that was Grey's Anatomy, and that's because she left.
She did leave,
but she saved the show by leaving.
Yeah, it's all going on.
It seems like with Katherine Heigl, it's one of two ways. Either she leaves or the show is canceled and she's shown the door.
I actually heard she was, I heard on the Grey's Anatomy set, and I don't know if it's like everywhere, but she's kind of hard to work with. So that maybe that's why. I don't know.
Also, the show looks terrible. So that could be a reason that, like, yeah. I saw that as soon as I saw the commercial before the first one aired, I'm like, I don't believe any of this can actually happen in real life. So no.
Show number four is Backstrom.
Yeah. With,
Rainn
Wilson. Rainn Wilson from The Office, where he kind of plays. He's basically doing his best impression of House, except in a investigative police field.
See, if this show stays, it'll be season three before I pick it up and start watching, since you said it's like House.
Because
it took me three seasons before I got into House.
Like, oh, fine, I'll do it.
And then I actually enjoyed House.
I'm not big for medical dramas, so that's why I stayed away from House. Yeah. The only medical show I can think of that I enjoyed, Scrubs. And that's really a comedy, so.
Yeah, well, for me, it was I love seeing Elsewhere. I watched ER. Oh, God, I was suckered into ER.
How many years? Did you do all 102 years of it?
Yeah, I was with it from day one.
Feels like it.
I was with it from day one, back when Michael Ironside was there.
Ironside.
They reran it, too, on TNT for just ever.
Yeah, yeah.
Because they could.
I don't remember if it was NBC or CBS, but they had one called Miami Medical that was only, I want to say it was a summer series, and it ran, it was a great series. Loved it. Ended. It was just one season.
Hmm.
I know ABC for a while, for a couple years, they were grabbing like whatever one of the top Canadian shows was and put it on as a show during the week. I watched, what was their military medical show. I can't think of the name of it.
You're asking us what the Canadian military medical show is?
Yeah.
And if it's not what was that Mountie show that was in the 80s? True North or something like that? If it's not that, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's the number five show, and apparently it is canceled. Heart of Dixie.
Oh. Some people might say that it didn't already get canceled. What? Because I didn't give it a chance first season, and it actually, I think, made it free.
I'm not sure. I know my wife's been watching.
Yeah, that's the one with the chick from the OC, right?
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, and Jamie King's on it, of course.
Oh, okay.
She's pregnant for a second time. So she's a major character.
Mm. Rachel Bilson, man. I never watched that one.
Stalker, canceled. Or most likely canceled.
Might as well say it's canceled.
Might as well say canceled.
I think that one, I remember seeing like critic reviews of it, and they didn't even get a chance off before it aired, kind of deal. Like, this is not going to last. Don't even hit your pony to this one. So
this one's surprising me, but I guess it's not. CSI. Yes. Well, and they just brought on CSI Cyber.
Yeah.
Which
that one needs to go too.
Right.
I watched the previews of that and I'm like, what is this garbage? I mean, I'll take CSI first. I'm not even a CSI fan. I'm not even dogging the series. It's not like I think it's terrible. This is not for me. But it's been on like, it's also been on like 106 years.
Yeah.
And it makes it feel like that because of the multiple spinoffs it has. So it's
you're asking, what is it?
It's a trap!
It is.
It really is.
Patricia Arquette pops on the screen in her promos and like, this is the most devastating thing to ever happen. I'm like, come chill out. It's just the internet. Not that thinking dramatic. Unless you're following all the trolls following you.
Wow.
Somebody starting a fire using the internet. What? That's...
Okay, I don't know how they do this math, but CSI aired October of 2000, but they say it's 12 seasons.
Hmm.
Okay, I get the writer's strike, so that would take it down to 14. 13. There's something else in there.
Maybe they took some sabbaticals.
Yeah.
I will say that the only CSI Miami that I got sucked into, and I don't remember why I got sucked into it, was CSI Miami. I don't understand why that was like the CSI that I started watching. I think what happened was it was on a rerun, and I was just watching an episode, and I was like, wow, this is pretty decent. Like whatever the storyline was. So then I just started recording it on my DVR. But I never, like, even when they did, because I think they did a crossover with a New York one or something, like CSI Miami crosses over to New York. I didn't even watch those. Probably. I just stuck with CSI Miami. I didn't want to get sucked into the...
I'm only getting half of the story and I'm going to like it.
Yeah.
I didn't even care
because they didn't even give us an ending. So it was like, whatever. Like I wasted all my life on that. Mm-hmm.
Actually, they're on season 15. 15 seasons. See? Holy cow.
That's a lot.
I guess they're trying to compete with Law and Order. Dun, dun.
That's another show I couldn't get into.
Would 15, yeah, I was going to say, like, would 15 seasons be like the longest running TV show?
No.
Drama or anything like that? Or Law and Order have it? How long is Law and Order going? Cops has been on, but I wouldn't call that a really show.
Of course.
It's been like 25 years.
CSI Cyber, I Can See for Miles by The Who. This is a show that has continued to keep The Who alive. Because every one of them has a Who song.
Yep.
Starting to run out of Who songs, I think. Aren't they? 19 shows later.
Let's see. CSI is, but Who Are You?
Yeah.
Bob O'Reilly was used for CSI New York. Won't Get Fooled Again was Miami. And now I Can See for Miles. Law and Order. Give me a quick second. It is for that franchise. Oh, come on. Of course, they've had comics, game, the CSI Experience.
Oh. Right.
Producers announced intentions to break the Guinness World Record for the largest ever TV simulcast drama on March 4th, 2015, with the episode Kitty airing in 150 countries in addition to digital stream.
Hmm.
And then they broke the record by airing CSI Cyber in 171. Still, it's all nuts, I said. Law and Order. All right. Can't type. Try this. And Law and Order in television. Please. Law and Order. First show, Law and Order, ran from 1990 to 2010. Law and Order Special Victims Unit from 99 to current. So that's got CSI beat by a year. Law and Order Criminal Intent, 2001 to 2011. Law and Order Trial by Jury, 2005 to 2006. Law and Order UK, 2009 to present, and Law and Order LA, 2010 to 2011. So the franchise has been going since 1990. So we've been hearing the chunk.
Long time.
25 years now?
Wow.
My math right?
Sure, I'm not going to argue with you. 1990, yeah. Maybe 25 years.
Wow, amazing. So the number 8 show most likely to be canceled. Battle Creek.
Didn't this one just start? Like I saw a promo for it while I was watching basketball or something like that. I'm like, oh, okay. It's got, you know, the guy it's in all those Mayhem commercials.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah.
Number 9, Gallivant.
What? It's It ended though, or were they?
I think it was just I think it was a mid-season fill.
No, it wasn't supposed to be. But then they had like a Twitter thing. Say renew or not renew, but like bring Gallivant back. It was supposed to only be a six. Because we watched it. I was only supposed to be a six.
Yeah.
Six. I want to say issue. Six issue. Yeah.
Well, it was like Agent Carter, just something to break up.
Yeah, it was after they had it on after the Super Bowl, wasn't it? And then
yeah.
There was that was a 2 hour. So that was 2 hours right there. And then I think the finale was 2 hours. So then there was only like another 2 weeks of worth of episodes, and it was fantastic. I loved it. I was all for bringing. I'm not sure what the ratings were, but you know, I was hoping that maybe someone would say, "Oh, let's bring it back and do some more." But it was a complete story.
Yeah,
I think I'm trying to think of how it ended. I'm pretty sure they wrapped everything up.
10 spot is Resurrection.
Yeah, that's a show I have intended to watch, but just haven't.
See, if you did, it might still be around.
Yeah, it still doesn't matter. the Nielsen people don't care what I watch, so it doesn't matter what I watch.
Number 11, Cristela. The sitcom about a Mexican-American woman living with her extended family while pursuing a law degree.
Yeah.
What network is that on?
Don't know. It came and went.
Wow.
It's come and is going. And then this last one is one that my wife watches as well. Forever.
Oh, I watch that show too. I love that show. It's decent. It's just like, it does. I think I talked about it on the show before. Like, he can't, we don't know why. So they don't really explain that.
Vampire.
I don't think he's a vampire, but.
Oh, he's a vampire.
Basically, he is a vampire. He's been alive for 200 years?
Something
I forget.
Like that.
It's been alive for a long time. But the interesting part about Forever that I love is that Abe, who is his, like adopted son, he like, because he's, you know, Abe's old now. Abe's like in his 70s or 80s now. He basically takes care of Abe, where, it, you know, I don't know. It's just an interesting storyline, but they didn't tell you that right in the beginning that was his son, you know, and then they do a lot of flashbacks. So that's probably what, but he's a medical examiner, which is really cool. He's kind of like Sherlock-y, where he can like basically figure out what happened in like 2 minutes. So he's just
he figure out what happened to the Fantastic Four franchise he was a part of?
I don't think so, but everything he's in, remember he was in Ringer, that got killed. He's in this, and I told my husband as soon as I seen, I was like, this show's not gonna last because he's in it. I feel so bad, but because I love him as an actor, I really do, but he has bad luck or something, I don't know. So
now we can give some good news. I think Marty brought this to our attention through text outside of the show. Show might be coming back.
Yeah, buddy, the X-Files is coming back. Who would have thought that? It's actually been 13 years since the series ended to where it's up to I think now. So but I guess like the key was to lock down. They got Chris Carter coming back to produce the show, who originally produced and created the show. You got David Duchovny coming back, who's now free because Californication's done. Gillian Anderson's coming back, so I think I'm not sure what she's working on, a lot of indie stuff. I want to say a little bit of Broadway or something, if I remember right. But yeah, those are like the three main cogs. They're even getting Mick Leggy to come back as A.D. Skinner. No word if they're going to bring back like what's his name? I always call him T-1000. Robert Patrick. Yeah, because he was on the show after Duchovny left towards the end of the series.
Yeah.
But they're going to do sort of it's like a 6-episode what do you call it? Event. They're calling it event series, but it's like what they did with 24, where 24 got like a 6-8-episode you know event series where it's a mini series without calling it a mini series. But I guess they may actually finally answer some questions that they never answered in you know season 9 or the movie that came out after the series was over.
Sort of like Heroes Reborn.
Yeah.
It's a 12 episode event.
Yeah.
Sort of just like what
really
season.
Happened with Mulder. But I think the reason I think they don't call it a season is because if you call it a season, then it feels like it's a show that
might
you
come
know,
back.
Yeah, right. It might come back. And this is and if you do it as an event series, it's like it can do really well. Okay, maybe we'll do another one if we want to. It's almost like British TV thinking. Like, oh, maybe we'll do another one if we feel like it's right. If not, then we're not on the hook for having to do something. And if it stinks, then it just goes away. So, you know, it's saving face is kind of how it's looked upon. But I'm stoked. I was a huge X-Files fan growing up, especially the first 6 seasons. Latter three were a little choppy, a little hit or miss. Fantasy, but even the first movie, I kind of dug. The second movie was a little weird, a little episode-ish for a major motion picture.
Well, let me put this one to you guys. This comes from Nuke the Fridge, but this has been all over the internet, a couple different sites. Actually, before we do that, let's take a very quick break for this.
Don't blink and experience optical overload at the largest pop culture convention in the South. MegaCon 2015. Sci-fi, comic books, anime, and more. Featuring special guests Stan Lee, Doctor Who's Karen Gillan, and Sons of Anarchy's Ron Perlman. Meet Norman Reedus, Michael Rooker, and stars from The Walking Dead. Comic book creators, costume contests, and more. MegaCon 2015. April 10th through 12th, Orange County Convention Center. Get discounted tickets at megaconvention.com.
All right, so Nuke the Fridge is one of several sites that I've seen this break on. So I'm just going to go into the article, and I'll let you try and figure out what it is. This is rumor at best. According to the website DCComicsMovie.com, the CW is looking to introduce a certain hero into the second season of The Flash. They're looking into none other than a certain actor to play him. Yes, I'm being cryptic for a reason. The concept is behind all this is supposedly the events of the season finale of The Flash. Again, this is rumor, this is speculation. Is Barry will end up in the alternate universe. Not only that, but Cisco and Caitlin will develop metahuman abilities. The universe he ends up in is the Smallville universe.
Yeah, that's kind of cool.
And they're talking about the idea of Tom Welling appearing as Superman.
In the costume? That something would be cool, because he didn't really get touch it till the end of the show, right? Like, he flew away still, in the costume?
No, he never wore the costume.
Never wore it, okay.
No, I don't think he ever wore it.
I thought that was like the last image was like him in the costume flying away, but I didn't see it. So I gave up eight seasons.
I have to watch it. I have to catch the final of the last episode. Yeah, but
that's what I always heard was the way. I mean, this is like their vision from like season one. Like, this was going to be the last shot, and it's going to be like him in the costume flying away.
No,
at that time we thought it was going to be to go to Metropolis, but he was already in Metropolis by then. And
I don't think they ever did that.
Okay. But yeah, that'd be cool, just to, like, he finally gets the opportunity to wear it suit finally. Yeah.
Now the idea of Tom Welling appearing as Superman makes sense in the context of the story. When Barry changes his mother's fate, he returns to another version of the universe. Smallville introduced us to the multiverse concept, and with the Infinite Crisis being a developing story on The Flash, it's not too far off. To me, I didn't think
has always been in the time traveling kind of realm.
I thought they were going. And everything felt more Flashpoint Paradox, not Infinite Crisis.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, the Flash comic is the one that's pretty much credited with that issue, The Flash of Two Worlds, where you have that classic cover of sort of the wall in between, and you've got Jay Garrick Flash and Barry Allen, I think it's Barry Allen Flash at the time, like running to save the same person as like a beam is about to drop on them. Yeah. And that's that whole idea that there's multiple universes out there. So and he's always got like the cosmic treadmill that's sending him back in time. Usually there's a Flash that kicks off or it has some strong connection to any crisis on Infinite Earth. So it makes sense. I can see it. This is being a very good thing for the Flash storyline. Work in Green Arrow.
Now before I speak,
spoiler alert.
In case you didn't catch that.
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert?
Spoiler alert.
Oh, I was gonna say, what's a spoiler? Which is a cute way to say spoiler.
Ooh. It's just a cute, very cute way. last week's Flash, they teased time travel. They teased it a little bit more this week's Flash. It's getting there. I mean, they've been teasing it, pretty much all season, talking about, well, if you're able to break time, but, he's not at a point where he could do it consistently. So, but, he does it for the first time last week. Yeah. So, Jeff Johns spoke a while back that Batman and Superman were off limits, quote unquote, right now, but never said that they would never appear. And if they were to go along with it, it would already be established that he would be completely different from the Man of Steel version of the character. Again, TV's TV, film's film.
That's almost given the wink. That's not encroaching on their lore at all for the movies or really even TV show. That's really almost a wink and a nod to like saying, hey, you know, we love this show too. Here's your chance to finally see Tom Welling, gray haired in Superman.
Well, he has a
last time I saw him, he was salt and peppery, so they matched the little color in that hair.
Hair color for men.
Yeah, for Superman.
According to this, Tom Welling has found very little in the way of acting roles since he played Clark Kent and was even considered to play Superman when Brett Ratner was attached to Superman Return. Yeah. Bad movie, just all the way around.
I did see, did we talk about this, the super castings in the Supergirl TV show? I don't think we talked about it.
No.
I did see that they, I think they officially said, I wish I had the article because it's been a few weeks, but they did say that they are looking to incorporate Dean Cain, and they're looking to incorporate Helen Slater into the show. They haven't said into what dynamic or character yet, but they will be making appearances.
Well, I know they were casting a Superman for that.
Right. Which could work for Cain, you know, especially if it's just, I don't think it's going to be Superman heavy, so you just need him to pop in like a couple episodes, something like that, like check in on the cousin that's new to Metropolis or what.
Well, at this point in time, they're going to potentially use Tom Welling. They could potentially use Tom Welling for that too. Well, maybe.
They could, but I think going to be like an alternate universe, so.
Well, Supergirl supposedly, they said they could potentially cross over with Arrow and Flash.
Right, right. So Tom Welling Superman, it won't be of their universe.
No.
Which then it could be, because I mean, then it could get really confusing, because then all of a sudden you've got three Supermen starring in DC shows, because you got Ralph, who's on Arrow right now as another character, and then you throw in Welling, and then you throw in, you know, it's all of a sudden you just got Superman all over the place. It's raining Superman.
Yep.
Rain of the Superman. Just need to get John Henry Irons in there and we're all set.
Shaq's available.
Oh!
I went there.
I just died a little inside again.
Well, maybe this will bring it back. Last story of the night. Star Trek 3 may pick Idris Elba for a major villain role.
Dude, I love Idris Elba. He is like such a solid actor. If you haven't watched that BBC show Luther, you're missing out on one of the best shows on TV. We already sat here and said, I'm not a big police procedural fan. I really like that show. And he's got some strong acting chops in that show, too. So, and everything been in since, like, you know, Pacific Rim. Even that was the new movie that just came out. Was it The Gunman with Sean Penn?
Yeah.
He's in that, and somebody else is in that. I'm like, wow, that is a really solid cast for a movie I don't really care to see. But I would see it just for those three actors kind of deal.
Right.
So, yeah, I think that would be awesome.
Well, Variety reports that Luther star and hoped for future Bond star is being eyed for the lead villain role of Star Trek 3. Trade reports that he's even in early talks to take it. Heisenberg himself, Bryan Cranston, was rumored to be up for the villain role, which now seems to be just overhyped internet banter. But what villain could he be? The hot rumor is that the Klingons will have something to do with what's going on in the events to come. They popped up briefly in Into Darkness in a face-to-face with Uhura, played by Zoe Saldana, but they haven't been properly utilized yet in this new timeline, with the film franchise spotlighting such classic characters as Romulans and then Khan. It only seems plausible that the Klingons could be in spotlight next.
I'm so excited. I just want to say that Star Trek II Into Darkness was probably one of my favorite movies I have seen, like, ever.
Wow.
One of them. I have a lot of favorites, but it really impressed me. I liked it better than the first one. Like, it's like from the very beginning when it starts, it's action. It's like, it just doesn't stop. It's so good. And I'm not, like, I think I've said this before, I'm not the biggest, what's his name? Benedict Cumberbatch fan, but he freaking ruled Khan. Like, he was, I don't know, it was great. And I love Zachary Quinto and Chris Pine. It's funny because we were watching End of the Woods last night because we bought the soundtrack. soundtrack and we bought it. Well, he plays in it. And one of my favorite scenes is actually him and this other prince. They're doing this song. It's called like Agony or something. They're singing about like these princesses and it is hysterical. And I was wondering, like, I had no idea that he could sing, or like, I know that he can act, but I had no idea he could sing. And he's pretty cool. But I was like, that's Chris Pine. Like, he's playing Prince Charming. Like, it was pretty cool. So yeah, I'm excited.
Well, I guess to wrap up the show, check out our Patreon page. It's patreon.com/WeebieGeeks. It's if you help us, what's the best way to put it? Help us.
Help us.
I mean, if you like the shows that we've done, like the guests that we've had on, with your help. God, it sounds like a PBS pledge drive. With your help.
Well, except we don't air Downton Abbey, so that's
true.
Gonna keep people from listening.
It just allows us to help improve production quality. It allows us to help get the higher end guests that we've had, or the high caliber guests that we've had. Not that we haven't had any high caliber guests. It allows us to do many things for you guys, or gives us the opportunity to do more. It allows us to also kind of help get out there more and meet with you guys at conventions. Whether it's the three of us from the show or people from the site, who's writing for the site. It gives us a chance to get out there and mingle more amongst you guys, the listeners and the readers. I mean, perks that you have, you know, $1 a month, as schedule permits, we'll bring you guys on so you could sit back and listen to a show while we actually record it. So you hear some of the maybe pre-production notes and find out what makes the show tick. $5 range. You still get to come on and listen to a recording as we record it. But you also get to another night, get to sit on the panel with us and chat and talk geek with us and get your voice out there to the masses that we call the Geek Revolution. $25 range. Hey, when we do have a guest like Ellen Dubin, John Schneider, Ming Chen, Joe Caramagna, Jim Zub, you get the opportunity to sit in with one of those, you know, with a guest and, you know, participate in that panel as well. So, I think some good perks. We might have some other stuff coming in the future. Does this mean that the show, you got to pay for the show to get it? No, it's still going to be free. So if you catch Marty at a show, he'll still give you your free hug.
So cupping of the buttocks, that's extra, but I will give at least just a nice tap on shoulder hug.
so as we joke in our promo, yes, this is one way you could earn citizenship in the Geek Revolution, is to help support the show with the Geek Bonds. Buy your Geek Revolution bonds today.
They don't mature for another 8 years, so just sit on them for a while.
So, yeah.
Just like me, I don't mature for a very long time. Those parts are still funny.
So help us out. If you like what we've done, again, minimum's $1. It's $1 a month. You probably spend more than that on candy at a movies. You definitely spend more than that. I mean, check your pockets, check your friend's pockets, check your friend's couch. There's got to be $1 in there somewhere. So, any final thoughts for this week?
Only thing I thought of, I'm going to check it out this week because my last week has been a little redonkulously crazy, but I am pretty stoked to find out, you know, the Powers TV show based on the comic book has hit the PlayStation Network already. If you don't have a PlayStation Network, if you have a PlayStation Network now, you can start watching it. I think they're up a couple episodes already. But if you don't have it and you're kind of curious about it, you can go to the PlayStation website and check out the first episode for free. So you can actually see what the show is like, and if you've been kind of like waning on getting, you know, PlayStation Network a subscription for a year or something like that, then maybe it'll help you decide, because they'll usually get a sale for, you know, year card like $30-$40 like that. Yeah. So not too bad for a year if you already got PlayStation.
Cool.
But, so that's my nugget of wisdom for you.
What about you, Jules?
I don't really have anything.
Let's what see. You're reading? What you're reading is good. You were sending me suggestions, so that's a good way. You were talking about. Oh, I know what you're talking about. You were convincing us on Sex Castle the other day.
Oh yeah, I forgot about it. I totally forgot about it. It was only what do you call it? Trade released. It wasn't like issues released. Oh, so good. Like I can't even explain it. And when I heard, when my husband told me about it, and I was like, oh, that doesn't really sound good. Like, something I would like.
It doesn't sound good.
But yeah, it was really good. I don't want to ruin it for anybody that hasn't read it, but it's really funny. There's a lot of, I think I sent you guys a text of like one of my favorite panels in that comic. It's just, it's really, really funny. It's, well, I didn't realize, I thought I was just reading an issue and I read it digitally, and then I'm reading, and I just kept reading, and I'm like, wow, this is a really long comic. And then I realized, oh, it's the whole entire thing. I want to get a hard copy of it. My comic shop did not have it, so I need to track that down. But yeah, and that's his name. So like, that's what like.
Is that right? Oh, is it really? I thought it had something to do with an actual castle that had sex in it. Or something like that. No. That's kind of what I was hoping for, but you never know. So his name is Sex Castle. That's like his last name. First name.
I think it's just that's just what they. Call him so, only name. I don't know. The only name he needs. I mean,
when you have a name like Sex Castle, that's all you need.
But yeah, it's just, oh, you got it. If you haven't picked it up, you have to pick it up. The art's great too. It's very, I don't know. There's a lot of action scenes in it, so it just kept me like, I mean, I read it so quick, so I was like, didn't really realize I was reading it because it was just, it's really good. Good story.
Cool.
So.
Well, on that note, if it hasn't been canceled, it must be Sex Castle. This has been Weeby Geeks and.
The bad crowd you've been hanging out with is a science fiction club?
This has been a Weeby Geeks production.